don't love you back. Stay tuned every Wednesday at 11:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 8:30 Pacific, with your host, Boyd and Lucinda, for the hottest talk show in existence. The streets don't love you back.
Good evening and welcome to the Streets Don't Love You Back show. Today's June 22nd, 2011. I'm your host, Lucinda, with my co-host, Boyd. And our topic is, as always, the streets don't love you back. Join us every Wednesday night with real people, real stories, and real changes as we hear the truth about gangs, drugs, violence, abuse, and other life issues. We have a great show for you tonight. We have our guest and author, Mr. Eric Hood. And he's going to tell us a little bit about his life growing up and what he's doing now. Please let me welcome Boyd to the show.
Yeah, hello, ladies and gentlemen. And we'd like to thank everybody who tunes into the show every Wednesday night. And we'd like to just ask you to listen in real closely tonight and learn another good message that we're about to bring you from the Streets Don't Love You Back radio show. And we would like to send a big shout-out to all our members in the federal and state prison and send out a shout-out to Ms. Marjorie Orbit that wrote us today. And we would just like to continue educating people behind the walls as well, you know, so when they come home, they have a sense of direction in a lot of areas. And without further ado, we would like to turn the mic over to our guest tonight and for him to formally introduce himself, and we're ready to rock.
Hello. So how you doing, Boyd and Mrs. Boyd? So how you doing?
We're doing great.
Great, my brother.
Good. Well, to all the listeners, my name is Eric Hood, and I'm the author of the book entitled Heart of the Hood. And I'd just like to start off by thanking the Boyds for even considering to have me on this show, because I know that this is one of the top rated shows, and I know you're doing a lot of good for the people, and especially the people that's in prison.
And that's, I appreciate it.
And that's a real plus. I mean, because you really don't have many shows that do that. No, you don't have many shows that do that. So that's a real plus there. So I'm just thankful to be a part of that. That's awesome work, because I have seen your work on Facebook, and I've been checking out your shows, and I'm like, man, this is powerful. So just thanks again for just having me on your show.
Thank you very much.
Thanks for coming on. You have an awesome story, just like, you know, the rest of our guests, and you know, we want you to go ahead and start back when you were younger. Show us, or tell us a little bit about, you know, how you grew up and how you got involved in gangs and drugs, and what happened to you throughout your young childhood and your young teenage years.
Yeah, you know, I am often asked about my childhood, and for some apparent reason, I can't remember any of it. The only thing I can remember in my childhood was when my father had walked out on my mother, and she was hanging out the window hollering and screaming, talking about, come back, Alvin, and that's all I remember. So my childhood really didn't start until I was around about 12 or 13, and that's when I started in the gang life. And that's what I remember. That is my life. That is what I remember. So I remember things like people say that when they was kids that they went to the zoo and went to the park with their family and all this. See, I don't remember none of that. I don't remember any of that. But the title of your show, The Streets Don't Love You Back, is a true saying. It is true, because the streets don't love you back. But now when we out there, you know, we believe we're getting a lot of love. Because when I was younger, me and my brother was in the house, and it was snowing outside. and we saw my younger sister and brother in they was in the house having a snowball fight because the windows was busted out. So me and my brother said, well, we got to go ahead and get us some money, man, because this ain't going to work. At that point there, we had made up in our mind that it's time to stop living like this. And we ran into the guy who was the chief of the area. I mean, he was sharp, dressed sharp, had all the women, had all the money, had all the power. And we wanted that. So he took a liking to us, to me and my brother. And we started in the smokehouse, bagging up coke in the pony packs. You know, we started off by oiling shotguns and shining up shotguns and stuff like that. So we were running the spots and stuff like that. Then we had all these here, quote unquote, prostitutes. I mean, it was wild, but it was the life that we was living. And to tell you the truth, you know how you have these young kids who say they want to be a basketball star, they want to be a lawyer, doctor, but you know, I always wanted to be a gangster. I always wanted to have a gun. I always wanted to run a drug spot. I always wanted to get shot. I always wanted to shoot somebody. I always wanted to go to Max Penitentiary. I always wanted to have a whole lot of money. And see, the sad part about it is that unlike most kids, I lived out my dream. And it's sad, and it's real sad. But I come to understand now that those things happen probably so I can help others now. Because I was really, because even while I was doing it, I always felt a void in my life. I always felt a void. Always felt there was something missing. I always did. And it wasn't until I really started pursuing God that I understood what was missing. And it was a father figure.
Right.
And all the stuff that me and my brother was doing to people out there and all the stuff that we was doing, period, it was to fill that void. It really was. All the crime you can think of, it was to fill that void. And no, I'm not going to tell you that we didn't enjoy it, because I think everybody enjoyed their wrongdoing when they're doing it. That's why we stay in it so long. But it was void. But it was a void in there that I just knew that there's got to be something better than this.
Amen.
And it wasn't that I wasn't caught, because when I was out there, I didn't want for anything. Power, money, women, whatever it was, I had it. But I didn't have that foundation, that father figure, because I believe that when the father leaves, because when I saw my father walking down the street and my mother was hollering and crying for him, now I can understand that when the father leaves the house, that he takes the foundation with him, and he takes the order of God with him. He takes the protection of God with him. He takes the provision. And he takes the security, and he leaves the door wide open for the devil to come and wreak havoc on the wife and children.
Amen, brother.
And this is why we have a lot of guys that's in prison now. Because most of the guys in prison, if you ask them, have their father been in their life, they'll tell you no.
Amen.
I was in the Max Penitentiary in Menard. And it was a guy in there, and he was talking bad about his own mother. And we was on lockdown. And when we came off lockdown, the outside hospital had to come get him. Because them guys beat him just that bad. Now I'm going to show you just how much respect the father has lost because guys will talk about their fathers in there like it ain't nothing. They hate them.
Amen.
But now when it comes to the mother, you better not say nothing crazy about the mother.
You better say that again, homie. You better not even open your mouth about that.
They don't play that game. They don't play that game, period.
We can talk about daddy all day long.
Yeah.
But you better not open that mouth about mama. You feel me?
Nothing. I mean, but you can see the lack of respect that the father have, even on Father's Day. There's a great difference between Mother's Day and Father's Day.
You better say that, you know, and don't mean to cut you off for 1 second. I was telling my wife that when we was driving down to visit her father in another part of Arizona Sunday, and I told her, I said, boy, I say these streets is real shadow today, you know what I mean? I say,
yeah.
Mother's Day, I say, you cars everywhere, you know what I mean?
Yeah. But the father,
you know, ever since I was a young kid and before I was born, you know, the father figure situation has been so tarnished, you know what I'm saying? It's that the mothers has been mother and father. So on Father's Day, I even call my mother and say, Happy Father's Day. You feel me? Ain't been no daddy. My mother done played both hats, you know? So I feel you on me, brother, you know?
And that's the reason for my book. That is the reason why I wrote my book, and it's called Heart of the Hood. I had wrote my book in a pursuit of getting to know God as my father. And while I was writing that, I always wondered, well, is my pursuit of knowing God as my father related to my rejection from my biological father? And as I was writing, God had just revealed himself to me. And he just showed me just who he is to me. And he showed me that he is my father. And he wants to be my father. And at first, I couldn't even wrap my head around that. I couldn't wrap my brain around that.
It wasn't registered.
No. And that's because even in the church, you don't get that type of response. Because for the most part, the people in the church don't know God.
Amen.
So, because you can tell by the way that they relate to the people that's in the world. They treat them any kind of way. And you'll find nowhere in Scripture where Jesus did that to people.
No way. I mean, that's one thing people fail to realize when, you know, just one point I would like to make. You know, you might have a church right in the heart of the hood, and three blocks over, you got a family that's starving, lights off, and they walk in, the church faithfully, putting in their last little few dollars for the tithes. But when they ask the preacher, you know, that we need a little help on the lights and, you know, lights off and kids need food, the first thing a preacher said, and I heard this with my own eyes and ears, the preacher said, God will provide. And the bottom line is, God already done provided because you're supposed to be head of the sheep, You know, you supposed to instantly say, no problem, sister or brother. We got that. You feel me?
And cut I thought I was the only one felt like this.
Yeah, and cut the check. You know what I mean? Don't tell me nothing about God got it covered. God do got it covered because he's been blessing
me. I thought I was the only one felt like that, boy.
Yeah, he's been blessing me three blocks over. And I put my ties in when my kids ain't had no shoes on their feet. And you're going to tell me God's going to provide? He's been providing because he's been blessing me to walk around here and put my ties in your church. Now, me and my kids don't get no food. We can't get nothing. See, so that's what happens to the churches in the neighborhoods, you know, that just want to drive the Cadillac and park that in the back. So when service is out, he jumps straight out back into the ride, and he's gone with his two gators on. But he talking about he know God. You know, knowing God ain't materialistic because what people truly fail to realize, God walked among prostitutes, pimp, hustlers, whores, gangsters, killers. God walked among all of that.
Yes, he did.
So when one of us come about the Murray Clay, as they call it, and on solid ground, and say, look what God brought me from, that is the glory of God right there. That's what makes God happy. When one
goes out, because my heart goes out to the drug dealers and gang bangers, you know, my heart goes out to them because I understand where they at.
Ain't no mystery.
I understand where they at because I lived that life. So
exactly.
I understand the void that's in their life. I understand what they're going through. And I understand what they're hungry for. See, the church and society, see, they look at the murders and all the crime, which I'm not making light of. But see, all that stuff is an after effect of the cry that they crying out for. See, they crying out for help.
That's right. And if
that's
you
all
ain't
it is,
trying
they crying
to
out for help.
Yeah, if you ain't trying to help your fellow man or your fellow sister, you know what I mean, then it's a misunderstanding there. Because if you're a man or woman of God and you turn your back on your fellow man or your fellow sister that's, you know, hungry to know Christ, you know, like God said, how can you love or hate your fellow man and love me, a person you never even been a day in your life, but you love me so-called Harley, but slap your brother and sister in the face and not kill them?
I ain't that boy, you gotta cut it out. I'm gonna cut it out, man. Walking right past drug dealers.
Right. And what you walking past is God's people. You walking past the same people that God walked among of when he was on earth. You feel me?
Yeah.
Don't get it twisted. Like, you know, so many people got it twisted on this level here. Because I go in church, I'm supposed to be holier than thou, and I'm supposed to be better than the man or woman next door. Okay, let's flip that up a little bit. Only because you put your suit and your gaiters on and go to church and drive your big caddy or your Benz up at the front door, don't mean you know better than the next man next door, because it could be a man ride up in a Pinto with shoes to the side and know God more than you know God. So don't ever get it twisted that
and,
you hear.
And do you know? And do you know that that was one of the main reasons why I was writing this book? Because I was telling God, I said, God, I don't want to be like these saved folks. And I don't want to be like these people on the street. I need you to save me for real.
Amen.
I need you to show me who you really are. I said, because the stuff that you say in your word about how good you are and how much you love people, the things that I see go on in the church is contrary to who you are. So somebody lying here. So I need you to reveal yourself to me. Because this foolishness here, I don't want to be a part of it. I need you to save me and teach me how to be like the God that I see in this Bible. Because this stuff that I see going on in the church, I don't want that God. And I'm convinced because I hear a whole lot of people, they say, where, you know, where them guys, where they just don't want God. You know, they scared of God. You know, they just don't want God. And I tell them, I say, I believe everybody want God because we was created to worship him.
Amen.
I just believe that they don't want to be a part of the church mess.
Exactly.
But they want God.
Because the church ain't got so corrupted now, you know? It's been corrupted in a lot of areas.
I believe that they want God. They just don't want the God that's being presented to them through the church.
Right.
Because the church got all these different gods.
They got this angry God.
They got this here lottery ticket God.
They got that God every Sunday. Yeah, it's Pastor's Day, Wife Day. They got that God. Give me some money day.
Yeah.
That's the God they got. Cut me off and let us go home.
And that's the reason why I had wrote this here book, because I really needed to know him.
Amen.
I really needed to know God. Because all the stuff that I've been through in my life, I really needed to know God as my daddy. And when he showed me who he really is, it dawned down on me that he don't just want to be our God. He wants to be our Father.
Amen.
He wants us to sit on his lap and talk to him. He wants to be a part of our everyday life. And this is the gospel that the church is supposed to be preaching to the world.
Yes.
But we have been called ministers to reconcile people back to God, which means to bring them back into harmony with God.
Yes.
But see, we go to talking to these little people and calling them dope fiends and prostitutes and gangbangers and murderers. And they're going to go to hell if they keep on doing this here, and God ain't pleased, and they're going to go to hell. They better stop. And do you want to know the God that loves you? And this is why we don't have people kicking in the doors coming to church.
Right. Eric, we have a question in the chat room, and they want to know if you can talk a little bit more about your gang involvement and what happened when you were a young teenager.
What led you to prison?
You know, what led you to the 10 years in prison and just some of the things that you went through.
As a young teenager,
you know, what did you go through, and maybe tell us a few stories.
Me and my brother, we was like the leaders of the little crew that we had. And we started out in the smokehouses for our chief, and we was like running the packs and you know, cleaning the guns and stuff, and we were like 12 or 13 years old then. And then as time went on, when we got like 15, then we was running the spots, and we had like multiple spots that we was running. So we beating up grown men and having sex with grown women. And as a matter of fact, my first sex was with a prostitute when I was 12. And we was having all kind of money. And when we started getting beat, the police drove by and said, "I hear y'all name," and started ringing. And they threw us a bag of drugs out the window and said, "Here." And we was into all kind of gang wars. And I'm like, and we was doing stuff to people that's really unlawful to even speak on. I mean, we were putting people in trunks. And it was just ridiculous. And then as time went on, the more money we made, the more power we had. And the more power we had, the more deceitful the game got. To where you really start getting paranoid. And you watch everybody around you. Because now you done moved up. and you got all this power, you got all this money, and you can do whatever you want to do. So now, me and my brother, you know, we riding around with guns, just paranoid. And we in tour with other cheese, cause now we done became cheese. So we in tour with other cheese, and we take other cheese out, and they try to take us out, and it had got so to where we was hooked up with the police, to where I used to have to go up to the high school, and I used to have to take two polices, 5,000 apiece every Friday. It's just how crooked it is. But in that game, you want to be hooked up with the police. But the thing is that we don't understand is that, see, the devil will show us all that good stuff that we think is good, but he don't show us the end results. No, he don't show us the end results. And the end result was that me and my brother was going to court, and they was trying to get me. And they was trying to give me 42 years, and they were trying to give my brother 62 years. See, the devil don't show you all that. No, the devil don't show you that you finna go to jail for a long time. See, he don't show you all that. And then my brother, I was at a place, and my brother, and he got shot up. And they shot him up over 13 times. And some people called me to come to the morgue. And the morgue was probably a mile away. That was the longest ride I ever took in my life, boy. I have never been through a pain like that in my life. I mean, even with my mother dying, even with me getting shot, even with my time in prison, all that together didn't equal up to that pain. And when I got there and I saw his face on that TV, I said, I can't do this no more. I mean, a drug game is so... I mean, it is really the work of the devil. Because he show you all, and the higher up you go in the drug game, the more luxury you have. And the devil will give you, and what people don't understand is that the devil functions just like God. He just perverts it. Mm-hmm. If you obey him, he give you whatever you want. And it's simple as that. And mm-hmm. Me and my brother, we obeyed the devil. And he gave us whatever we wanted. Power, money, women. We had all kind of power. All kind of power. I mean, we had so much power to where we were paying the police. But the devil don't show you that when the judge is going to send you away forever. And when them guys finna blow your brains out, I've had so many guys get killed. I'm the only one out of all the guys I've ever been around. I'm the only one that done gave his life to Jesus.
Amen.
I'm the only one. I'm the only one that did that.
Can you tell us a little bit about? When you caught the case, what case did you catch?
Look, when I was on the third floor in a safe house, and something told me to look out the window, and I looked out the window, and I see nothing but slick boy cars all around. So I'm throwing the stuff out the window. And I'm throwing it out the back window. They downstairs catching it. They kicked in the door. and put the gun to my head and said, throw something else, you black in. And we're going to blow your brains out. And I had one, because I got caught with a shopping bag of clips, shopping bag of bullets, like a couple of keys. You know, then one time I got caught with a box of 380s, box of 9s. Yeah, that kind of stuff there. So it's just, and it was just God's mercy that I didn't get caught up for the other stuff, like the harm that we was doing to people. Just think about it and get caught up for that. But I got caught up for all the other stuff, and the judge was trying to give me 42 years. And when I got my time, my lawyers, because I had three lawyers, and my lawyers, they asked the judge, can my mother kiss me before I go? The judge looked at my mom and said, motion denied. Send them to the back.
Wow.
Now, when I went in, she was a healthy woman. I mean, she was healthy, vibrant, happy. When I got out, she was skinny and walking on this here steel gray walking cane, dying from cancer. And I be trying to tell these guys, I said, man, look here, you out here in these here gangs, and you say for the love of your gang, and when you go to jail, you can count the money orders on one hand that they're going to send you.
Show you right,
brother. If they send you anything, and they're going to be out there with your girlfriend, and they're going to have your son selling drugs. It's true. They're not going to do anything for you. And when you get in there, they're going to try to hook you up to something to where you even get more cases, more time. The gangs don't carry anything for you. And when I was in there, it had dawned down on me, boy. It dawned down on me when I was in there. I'm sitting in the Max Penitentiary, and it dawned down on me. I said, I am too intelligent, too smooth to be in here. I ain't got no business being in jail. And I see guys all the time out here selling them drugs, riding slick, got all these pretty women with them, got all this jewelry. And I be trying to tell them, I say, man, that's going to play out real quick. And the same woman that's riding with you now, that's sitting on your right hand, she's going to be sitting on somebody else's right hand.
No, so then you get nothing.
Because you're going to be gone.
Amen.
And she gonna get the next one coming up.
Oh yeah.
And what these guys don't understand is that when you get that X on your back, 'cause the system is set up now, man, to destroy these young boys.
Oh yeah, tear them apart.
Mhm.
And they don't even but see, it is like I be saying, this stuff need to be taught. And especially in the church, because I say that these guys, a lot of them, because when I was coming up, it was a lot of them, chiefs didn't want to be in the game. They just got caught up in it. They didn't have nobody to go to.
Right.
And when you out there in that stuff, man, a lot of them are out there and doing stuff, and they really don't know what's set up against them. Because I believe if they knew, a lot of them wouldn't be doing the stuff they do. But see, a lot of them don't even understand the repercussion that's behind what they do. They really don't. they really don't understand the system that's set up against them to destroy them and their seed. Because once they get that X on their back, you know how hard it's going to be for them to survive out here legally?
Yes.
It's going to be almost impossible. They're going to need favor for real.
Oh, yeah.
It's going to be almost impossible for them to survive legally. And times are getting even rougher now.
Like you said, it's set up for them to fail, and it's set up to crush them, you know, because once you get in that gate, it's game over. You feel me? Like you said, the money orders ain't coming. The homeboys ain't there. You feel me?
No,
so now you're in the gate
all
alone, and now you got to set up shop inside the gate now. You know what I mean? Because ain't no shop out here set up for you.
No, and they come back out here, and they have no education, nowhere to go. Everybody who was quote unquote praising them while they was out here, done left them.
They gone.
And they come back out here to nothing.
Yeah.
With no education, no money, and no way to get a job because ain't nobody finna hire them. So that leaves them to resort to what they've been doing all along. And that's what caused their revolving door.
Yes, sir.
And I be trying to tell you guys, I say, man, it is so now to where the police, they don't even care if you don't get any time. They want you to get an X on your back.
Bottom line.
Because they know once you get that X, you're going to have it hard for the rest of your life. That's all they want. And folks say that it's not racist. They can say that all they want to. But see, I've been in the penal system, and I've been in the legal system. And this stuff is set up to destroy these young men. It is set up to destroy them. And I tell them, even though it's set up to destroy you, you have a choice. You have a choice to sell drugs or not.
That's right.
You have a choice to walk up on that boy and blow his brains out or not. You have a choice to lay down with that lady or not. You have a choice to do that. But now you just remember now that it is a repercussion behind all choices.
Yes, sir.
You just got to pick out which repercussion you want to come behind yours, either a good choice or a bad choice. And I've told so many guys, I tell them, if you go out here and sell these drugs, society don't care nothing about your daddy done left you. Society don't care nothing about you living in a ghetto. Society don't care anything about you being hungry or you done come from a jacked up family or none of that. So all society knows you made that choice. You made that choice and you got to pay for it.
Right, and they going to make sure you live with that choice you made.
And I be trying to tell these guys, I be saying, man, look, you really don't understand what's set up against you. Do you know you just giving your life over to people? And I tell them, I say, man, I have been right where you at. Further, I've been further than where you at. And, man, you can't win. You may be doing slick now. You may be doing good now. You may be doing all right now, but you can't win.
No,
this
not against them.
This is a fight that you are already set up to lose.
You better hear me. Don't get it twisted.
You can't win this one, man. You can't win it. And I be
tell them all the time, it's two things I tell these brothers and sisters out here, man. First of all,
don't think you the first man or woman who done picked up failure. You feel me?
Yeah.
Second of all, don't think you the first one done pick up a pack of dope and a pistol. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And that has been picked up for many, many years, and you can count on no hand. You know what I'm saying? No hand have you ever seen anybody win that game but the government. Now, if you think you better than the government, well, then you already done failed the test, my brother and sister, because you will never beat them.
Because I've tried it. I've tried it.
And you have failed that.
I came up short. And I tried. I sure tried. And came up short.
Every time.
And guess what? And it's been over 15 years, and I'm still paying for it today.
So don't think you're the first man or woman that picked up failure, ladies and gentlemen. You know, we just want to let y'all know.
I'm paying for the day. This stuff will stick with you for the rest of your life. You go out here and mess with these drugs and these guns and get locked up, it's going to stick with you for the rest of your entire life.
Yeah, don't think you're the first one. So we just encourage
you. And ain't nothing your mama going to be able to do about it. Ain't nothing your pastor going to be able to do about it. Ain't nothing your daddy going to do about it. Nothing. You go out here, and these people got some act right for you. And
you about to hit me.
And they ain't playing. And they ain't playing. And they serious.
They act right and serious.
They are dead serious.
They act right and very serious. You know, and I tell guys all the time that you don't hold no key to no prison in America and outside America. The only person who hold a key to that is the government, and they hold every key to every prison in the state of America and outside the country of America. So don't get it twisted that, you know, you can walk out that gate once they put you up in there. It's a wrap. So we're just trying to let you understand, ladies and gentlemen, that you have to learn that at the end of the day, the streets definitely don't love you back, and education is what gets you out the ghetto, not the drug selling. Education is what gets you out the ghetto, and education is what gets you to live up on that hill, because once you've done been educated, then you know right from wrong, you know, and once you know right from wrong, once again, you have a great choice, and if you make that bad choice, then you know you was wrong. So it ain't no saying that I didn't know that, because once you know it, it's what it is. We got a caller, brother, and we're going to put the caller on, 3561. Caller, you on the air?
Hello, hi. My name is Latricia Hayes, and I like everything that you guys are saying, and I think it's wonderful to speak out about it. Right now I'm going through a difficult time in my life. My husband, he actually was raised in a gang just like Eric Hood was. He was raised in a gang from 4 to 5 years old. And unfortunately, he did a lot of time in youth authority as a teenager. But when he got out, he decided to change his life. And he went back to college, and, you know, he got a degree in counseling and gang intervention and prevention and was working. But he decided to stay in the community in which he was raised in to try to help the kids in that community and to work at the high school to try to disperse fights and keep the kids from buying drugs on their way to school. And unfortunately, he got caught up in a situation that had nothing to do with him. And right now is in jail fighting for his life because the police in the area refuse to let you out of a gang. Once you're in a gang, you're always in the gang to them. He got gang tattoos when he was 13 years old, and they showed his tattoos in court as if they were freshly gotten. So my thing is, is that right now I'm fighting for his life. You know, I refuse to give up. I'm a black woman and I have kids, and, you know, I just refuse to give up. There's so many black people out here in Los Angeles that have been railroaded by the police department and the district attorney department, and they give up. They give up on their kids. They give up on their husbands. The majority of people in the California state prisons is black. And it's just something that I just refuse to give up. So right now I'm on the movement of helping the kids to understand what is going on, because, like you said, the system is set up to get them, especially out here in California. They charged my husband with murder and 2 attempts, which he was not even there. He had no knowledge of it. But they charged him with this, and then we had to get a forensic specialist, a criminalist, to get on the stand. Once we got them people on the stand to say my husband didn't do it, even a witness that saw the shooter said it was not my husband, the district attorney was allowed to then amend the charge against my husband and add on a principal charge, which in California that principal charge means, well, if he didn't do it, then somebody in his gang possibly did do it, so that means he knew about it. And that means right there to me is that they can just convict anybody of any crime. You know, it's like a gang. He grew up in a gang that's well over now 600 to 700 people. How can you possibly say what this? Only God knows what we know, really, in our minds. If no one has told you, or you have told no one you knew this, so how can you possibly say, well, he didn't do it, but he knew about it because somebody he knew possibly did it? They never even looked for the person that really did the crime. They just put it to the jury that somebody he knew possibly did it, and they convicted my husband. We had 3 jurors. 2 of them was black. They cried when the verdict was read. They actually cried. Everybody else on the jury was white. You can tell that those people were pressured to say guilty. And that's another thing that's sad in our community, is that nobody goes to jury duty. So it's really none of our peers, none of our people is on jury duty to stand up for our people. And I just wanted to call in and, you know, say congratulations on your book and keep doing what you're doing, because I'm on the movement myself to get my husband out of jail, one, and to get a lot of these laws changed, because this principal law, and this law has been in effect since 1970. No one in our community knew about this law. Now that it's like hotcakes in the district attorney's office. They are convicting so many people on this principal law because they have the wrong people. And you got LAPD detectives, they don't want to do their job. What they do is they say, okay, this gang got shot up. Well, it had to be the closest enemy gang to them, so we're going to catch one of them and put it on them. No murder weapon, no witnesses. They're just using a principal charge against our people, and it's wrong.
But you know what? The reason, I really believe that the reason why we as a people, as a black people, get treated the way we do get treated is because the scripture says that our people perish for the lack of knowledge.
Yeah.
And you go into these ghetto areas, and most of the people don't even know their aldermen. They don't know where they live at. They don't know where their office is at. They don't have any inkling of a law or anything
at all.
They don't have any knowledge of the judicial system, and they're not even being, and the young people are not even being taught about what is set up against them. They don't have a clue. They don't have a clue. And for the people who do know, we have so much against us till it's hard for us to even get into doors to even teach this type of stuff. And especially this, and see, this is one of my strongest beefs with the church. And I'm not talking against the church, because I belong in the church. this is one of my beefs against the church, is that we can teach about all this stuff about sin and this and that, but we don't teach these children what they need to know to survive out here on the streets.
Amen.
Yes.
We think that that's something that is supposed to be left to the streets. But see, we are supposed to teach these young women and young men how to conduct themselves. We are supposed to educate these young women and young men on the laws, on what's facing them. And the church don't want to get involved with this here, but they want to get involved with all the sin. And when somebody get killed and when the gang starts shooting each other, now you want to get these fake preachers who want to march up and down the street and be seen on TV and talking about stop the violence. When, see, if you would teach them why you're here, you wouldn't have to worry about the violence, but you inside your four walls talking
and
up
ain't
about
ain't even knowing about the violence. Ain't never gang bang, ain't never did nothing to perpetrate a fraud in the church with your suit and your Mercedes Benz out there.
And,
so I'm with you on that, brother.
And then when stuff happened to your husband like that, now you got people who want to say, oh, I'm so sorry that happened to your husband. When the bottom line is that if these young guys would have been taught earlier about what they facing, they wouldn't have got in that trouble for your husband to even be around that. See, we don't understand how this stuff connects to other people. This is why we have to push this agenda, and we have to teach these young men and these young women about how to conduct themselves. And the only way that people are going to be able to teach somebody how to conduct themselves if they are learned themselves. So you have a whole generation that's growing up that's wild and disorderly and have no direction, and they're having babies. Now, who's going to teach their baby? Because if the
and
church didn't teach
them,
then who's going to teach their baby?
So, yeah, they're bringing
so
them
this
up
was a revolving door for the generation, a revolving door. But see, I'm believing that God is raising up people like us, and he's going to open some doors. God is going to open some doors because God loves his people. I don't care what them church folks say. God love them gang bangers. God love them prostitutes. God love them. Look, God love them people.
He
same way
them
he love us. The same. He sent his son to die for them, just like us. And I don't care what nobody say. I'm believing God is gonna open some doors. And I just want to pray right now for your husband. I am believing right now in the mighty name of Jesus that God brings favor to your husband. I am believing that righteous judgment will come. I am believing that restoration is going to come for your husband, that freedom will be his portion. I believe that righteous judgment will be your husband's portion, and I believe it right now by faith that God is turning the heart of that judge. God is turning the heart of that prosecutor. I am believing it right now.
Yes.
And I am believing that the sentence will be turned in his favor. In his favor. No probable cause. Charges dropped. And I believe it by faith. And we just thank you right now, God. And we receive it. We receive your favor right now, Lord. And I just pray that you continue to bring your godly good love on this woman of God and her husband and her children. And I just thank you right now for clouding them with your love. In the name of Jesus. Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Yes, indeed.
Amen. I believe it. I believe it.
We're having a great show tonight, a great show tonight. You hear me? And I want you to stay on, caller, and we're going to go to a great song, God and Protect Us, and I think that's a proper song for what we are talking about right now
And we just thanking God for moving us right now on the Streets Don't Love You Back radio show. We'll be right back.
Guide and protect us, Lord. To give us your grace and your strength and your mercy. Swinging that two-edged sword. I'm fighting for justice so nothing can hurt me. Even when I pass away, my legacy lives on through my seed and my working. Every little thing I pray. Give thanks to your grace and your strength and your mercy, your mercy. The first one I call every day when I wake and pray. Yeah, the one who is there when no one has a care, I say, Lord, you strengthen my soul when my mind wants to go astray. Yeah, and lift me up high when I fall and my ground gives way. Lord, how precious your love and your grace and your counting days. Lord, you show me the light and the dark, now I shall repay. Yeah, with all of my strength I will fight with an iron fist. Lord, the freedoms of hate and the seed today don't exist. Guide and protect us, Lord. To give us your grace and your strength and your mercy. Swinging that two-edged sword. I'm fighting for justice so nothing can hurt me. Even when I pass away, my legacy lives on through my seed and my working. Every little thing I pray. Give thanks to your grace and your strength and your mercy, your mercy. With enemies close all around, I will call your name. Yeah. And slaughter the weak, you quickly with no thought or shame. Lord, for my heart is firm in your hands, so I'm no disgrace. No. I'll hail up your name every day with a smiling face. Boy, I never can give in a praise to your tenderness. Lord, to be in your infinite grace is my happiness. Yeah, no matter the time or the place, you're a devotee. Lord, you show me the light and the dark, so I shall resist. Guide and protect us, Lord. To give us your grace and your strength and your mercy. Swinging that two-edged sword. I'm fighting for justice so nothing can hurt me. Even when I pass away, my legacy lives on through my seed and my working. Every little thing I pray. Give thanks to your grace and your strength and your mercy, your mercy.
Yeah, we tried the long rocky road. The Buffalo Soldier fights the power freedom war. The last step on the throne. The conquering disciples from your congregation. Yeah. Collect your security. We build a better nation. Time besides the unity. Say nothing and fight, nothing and war. But brotherly love can destroy oppression. If we come together, we can conquer all our foes. Live victory eternally. But if we keep on murdering, see so much petty things. We're crumbling our destiny. But we were meant to rule upon the earth and multiply creativity and love. So I will always strive to show love and respect until I die. And so I will humble and pray. Guide and protect us, Lord. To give us your grace and your strength and your mercy. Swinging that two-edged sword. I'm fighting for justice so nothing can hurt me. Even when I pass away, my legacy lives on through my seed and my working. Every little thing I pray. Give thanks to your grace and your strength and your mercy, your mercy.
hey, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome right back here to the Streets Don't Love You Back radio show. And that was a hit off the soundtrack, God and Protect Us. And we're kicking it live tonight with my man Eric. And we got a call on, and that's 1560. Calling you on the air.
What's good? How you doing? How y'all doing tonight, man?
Hi.
Hey, brother, how you feeling today?
Oh, I'm feeling great. It's always be a blessing to be able to breathe.
Yes,
sir. Hey, thank God. Thank God, brother. We got my man E on the phone. You need to ask him a question tonight?
Yeah, I wanted to ask him about how did he go about as being a writer to get his book published, because I got like three comic books I want to get published in there. And when you listen to comic books, don't take it as, you know, comic books like you know, back in the day. But, nah, this comic book is more based on real-life situations. This ain't no myth, no made-up. It's all real-life based on situations. And it's in the form of a superhero book, kind of like, you know, almost like a Superman or somewhere in between like that. But I designed my own character, and plus I'm in music as well. But I just wanted to know, how did he go about the get his rights for it and everything to get it published?
Oh, well, the way I wrote it, you know, I really didn't, well, because I know that a lot of people, you know, they have to sit down and meditate and go places where it's quiet, you know, but me, if I didn't feel it, I didn't write it. So I just wait till it came.
You like me.
Yeah, I just wait till it came, cause I don't want it to be made up. I don't want it to be pushed.
Mm-hmm.
I want it to be genuine.
Exactly.
So when I write, so when I write, I want it to be me. I don't want it to be somebody that I'm thinking about and all this here.
Exactly. Well, you know what? I want to ask you this right here. Basically saying, like, once I formatted that, and once I got my foundation, and you know what the foundation usually is. The foundation is the, you know, the crest of the bottom of it. And, you know, if you build something on a weak foundation, it's going to slant, it's going to move, and it's going to break or crack. But when you foundation out something, when you foundation rise something, it's basically foundation. So once you get the foundation, basically it's just all about kind of like the networking and finding the right people to talk to and to get it in the hand of the right person, right?
Yes, because the main thing, what I tell people is when you're getting your book published, you keep all the rights. You don't give the publisher any rights. You keep all the power. Because a lot of writers, see, they get in trouble, and then see if they want to go elsewhere and get their same book published elsewhere, now they have to go through that same publisher to even get it, because they done turned over all the rights to them. So see, the main thing that you want to do, you want to have complete control. You don't want to give anybody no control over your book. You want to do all that yourself. And when you get somebody to edit it, you let them know that when they edit it, don't edit it to fit them. Edit it for you.
Exactly.
So they'll put their own words in there.
Exactly. And twist up your story.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So what you do is when they finish editing, you get you a copy and you read it first.
Exactly.
You read it first, and you'll know if it's you that you read or if it's the editor that you read.
Exactly.
So that's what you do. So you make sure that you get all the power, and you make sure that you check the editing. So see, just like the editor proofreads your writing and proofwrites your writing, you proofread the editor. You proofread the proofreader. Because see, the bottom line is, it is your name on that book.
Mm-hmm.
It's your heart. It's your soul. It's your mind.
Okay, so, I got one more question. When you did your first rough draft, and you know what that means, your first rough draft. All right. When you did your first rough draft, did you do it on, like, how did you do it? Did you do it, like, off of regular paper?
Paper.
White paper?
Paper.
You type it?
Paper.
So notebook paper,
paper,
right?
Yep, paper. Paper.
Okay, so, okay, well, okay, put it like this. My comic book right now, in the format it's in, I got it with markers and color pencils and pen, and it's all colorful, and it's and all the pages are all plain white. Okay,
mm-hmm.
And I drew like the boxes, just like the comic book. The boxes, the scenes, and it's back and front, just like a regular comic book.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. And mm-hmm. I took like a yellow piece of paper for the front of the cover, and then I got a white piece of paper, and I drew the comic book me. Character that I was came in, and I'm coming in the form of energy. And so, like I said, I'm into music, so my performance artist name is Mr. 239. So the book is called The Adventures of Mr. 239, the first edition, but the second edition is going to be called The Adventures of Mr. 239 in the Z Squad. And I basically got my conclusion, my introduction. I got all the things that's needed. And then I got it, like, for the where the holes at for the comic book, I tied it together with strength so far what I got, you know what I mean? But I got it tied, and all of that can change because you can use it, you know, once you get all that manufactured and everything, you know what I mean? But that's what the base I'm working with right now, and I pretty much, it's pretty much like, it's ready. It's, like, actually ready, you know? I mean, the back and the front, because the back, it's like... It's basically going to be one of the comic books nobody ever had or read before, because this one right here ain't just made up. This is all my based on life, everything, you know.
And do you know the best thing about that book is it's you.
Exactly.
It's not nothing that's made up or thought about and all that. It's you. You putting
exactly.
You in there.
Exactly.
And it don't get no better than that, man.
I know it don't. And see, you know what's funny about it?
It don't get no better than that.
Okay. Well, see, what I want to share with you is the way I came up with the book. Now, this is going to blow your mind. I got out of prison in 2006 because I had a flamboyant magazine salesman job working as a magazine agent, selling magazines, you know, traveling or, you know, on the job training type of stuff. And I got locked up for being a suspicious person in Texas. But they had called me with some illegal things with me while I was out doing what I was doing, whatever, to, you know, kind of like you said, get yourself away from reality and everything, because the reality of life sometimes can chew you up and spit you back out.
Yes,
you know,
it will.
And drink. And so, you know, I mean, so basically, you know, I got out of prison. I was working on my second album, and I finished the comic book at the same time.
Wow.
And I did it during the time when I did the comic book. I felt that, okay, because as a kid, I always like to collect baseball cards, football cards, all kinds of stuff like that. Plus, I did a little bit of comic book reading, you know, to make you escape from things, reality, situations, and thresholds. And so one day out of the blue, I just grabbed the paper because I've been nice at sketching and drawing ever since I was young. You know what I mean? It's like way back, like when I was 3 and 4 years old and all that, you know. And so it's like all of a sudden everybody used to be like, why you don't draw no more, you know. And I was like, you know, I just didn't, you know, feel just didn't want to do it no more, you know, because I did so much that, you know, I done invented so much stuff by drawing and stuff. I was like, hey, you know, and everybody was just sleeping on me and making it look like it was washed up. Everybody used to tell me it was a pipe dream. So I said, okay, whatever, you know. And so out of the blue in 2007, I named my own comic book store where I want to get it going once I get my money up. I may have a comic book store called Infinity Comics. You know what I mean?
So was
and
your
like,
father in your life?
Oh, man, no. You want to hear the story?
No, I can already hear through it.
You can hear it already. You can hear it already.
Yeah.
During the time when I made the comic book, he promised me that he was going to come and get me so I can pay for my probation. He didn't. I was $1,200 behind in probation. I had to pay Texas and North Carolina $600 apiece. He promised me he was going to come and get me one Monday morning, and he didn't come, so I didn't hear from him. I woke up early in the morning, like 5:30 in the morning, because I know, you know, you're doing construction work, whatever. You got to be up early, you know, have that breakfast, have that energy ready for you to be out there in the hot sun, whatever you're going to be doing for all them hours. He didn't come. So I didn't find out through him. I found out by other people, family members, that he stole his boss man truck, Grand Theft Auto, went to a hotel with a whore.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he had the truck. He both came to get me to work. So during that time, he, you know, plus he had child abused me when I was young. So, you know, I mean, I just sat down and, you know, I drink a little sip of wine or whatever to try to balance myself away from everybody, you know, just to, you know, to humble myself a little bit. And I just sit there and I was breaking out in tears and felt, you know, the emotions was going crazy. So I was like, man, let me go and see if I can escape back into where I used to do when I got with my art. So next thing you know, I just got there and I went from one page to another page to another page to another page, and it just kept going. And I was like, yo, let me bring it to a conclusion. So I won't twist
see,
people up.
See, because a lot of
home.
Stuff that we do, because a lot of stuff that we do, and we really put our all in it, we are really trying to fill that void of not having a father. That was the main reason for me writing my book, because I was seeking God as my father.
Yeah, exactly.
So see, I can already hear it. That why you were
God being my father. God being my father ever since I came out my mother's womb.
Yeah.
I wake up in the morning to talk to him. I talk to him like, man, you're having a conversation right now.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of people call me crazy, may say whatever they want to say, but they never, ever understand. You know, when I used to disobey my mom, God used to whip me. He used to literally punish me. You feel me?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? We talk about I actually felt God hitting me. You know what I mean? Like, discipline me. You know? All that, you know? So it's like, you know, but now I'm on, I feel that I'm balanced out real well and,
good,
you know,
good.
And like saying, go this best not to hold on to a burden, because you hold on to a burden that stops you from elevating, and that's just like weight on your shoulders. So once you move that weight, you know, whoever did what they did to you become a stepping stone for you, stepping stool, you step up over. You never ever forget where you come from.
And I just wish you great success on your book, man. And I can't wait to get
it. Yeah, it's going. Mainly, I made it for the kids, man. I made it for the little kids, man. And I got a 4-year-old son. I mean, and I made it for the kids, man, because it's showing my childhood all the way up to my adulthood. And you actually see the senses changing. You see that in the comic book. You see the everything, you know, everything, you know. And it's like, I started reading about being a freelance writer a long time ago, like mad years ago. Like when I had a lot of things happen to me, I would go to the library, and I used to be in drama and everything. You know, drama deals with acting, you know.
Yeah.
And I was in all of that stuff, and it's like I'm pretty much multi-talented when it comes to everything, man. I mean, and sometimes it's kind of hard to figure out what revenue I want to go to, but I look at it as me being a renaissance man. I want to, you know, I mean, it's a, you know, once you master your craft and your passion, you don't have to force yourself to do things. Greatness don't come by force. You know what I mean? You don't have to naturally kill yourself to be great. If you're great, that's something that just comes, because when you do it, it happens, you know.
Yeah.
And like I said, I definitely want to know about your book, man. What's your link to your book, man? Because I like seeing the game books and stuff like that.
It's www.heartofthehood.net. www.heartofthehood.net.
Heart.
Heart
dot
of
net.
The hood. Yes.
Okay, you said
heart,
right?
Net. Right.
Okay.
Heartofthehood.net.
That's what's up, man. I'm glad we still got people out here to do this stuff, because everybody was saying that stuff was old and ain't nothing going to happen if you be being yourself and stay being yourself. I mean, I wouldn't have it no other way. Why would I want to be somebody else? You know, I mean, I ain't lived their life. Well, I want to live their life, you know.
That's right.
And that's what used to kill me about the business industry. I ain't talking about music industry. I'm talking about the business industry, period. Whatever you do, if you doing something, you being you, people will criticize you. They'll criticize you faster when you being yourself than you. If you go out and try to be somebody else, they ain't going to say nothing. That's what I was told. Because you've been a follower. But once you become a leader, everybody, that ain't right. We ain't seen that before. We ain't heard that. That's made up. It ain't
most
true.
Definitely.
What are you saying? That ain't true. You know?
Most definitely. Most definitely.
Hello, caller, what's your name?
My name is Keno, but my performance name is Mr. 239, like the casino Keno name. You know what I mean? So I'm basically, to me, life has felt like it was a game, and I'm just like the game Keno. Numbers pop up, and I find out about things, and things happen, and, you know, I mean, but it's all good, because I still keep my faith and belief in God. So, I mean, the way I look at it, he won't steal me through wrong, because if I could share this with everybody on the phone, a few months ago I was about to be diagnosed with prostate cancer. I had to get 3 blood clots removed from. So, you know, I just keep myself going, you know.
Right. Well, we thank you for sharing your story, and you know, we want to encourage you to continue, you know, your writing and your music, and use the talents that God gave you. And, you know, teach your son how to stay out of the streets and how to use the talents that he's been given, and other children as well. You know, they need people, mentors to look up to, people that are being good things, role models, right. You know, and that right there, the more we do that, maybe the more children we can help stay out of the streets and out of gangs and out of drugs and out of prison.
Okay. Well, I want to give a shout-out to Boy and Lucinda for letting me be on the show, and much success to you too as well, brother man, for that book, man.
Thank you, man.
Keep that hope pumping, man, because we need hope out here. We need
man. All right, bless you, man.
We appreciate you, man. God bless.
All right, and if y'all get a chance, y'all can check out Mr. 239 Hip Hop and R&B at 310-742-1921, and Mark 79 come on at 1 p.m. tomorrow, and we do hip-hop and R&B, and plus talk about a lot of good subjects and reach on a lot of positive stuff, and that number is 323-784-9671.
Right, we appreciate it, my brother.
All right, man, keep that hope pumping, man.
Yeah.
All right.
Thank you.
One love.
All right, appreciate y'all having me on. One love, man.
All right. You know, we love to hear success stories, and we're always, you know, pushing for you know, the little guy to be real and get out here and do some positive things. You know, use your talents that God's given you, and you know, we're constantly trying to educate these kids out here and youth that, you know, education, you know, is the only thing that's going to keep you out of trouble. And you know, we tell the kids that knowledge is the only thing that nobody can take from you. The feds can't take it from you. The, you know, people in the jail can't take that from you. But all this material stuff that people think is important out here in life can be wiped away in a heartbeat. And, you know, so we just encourage all of you to get your education, learn as much as you can, listen to other people who've been in you know, situations and learn from their experiences. You know, and stay away from the gangs, drugs, guns, you know, the fast money and fast cars and all the things that go with that life, because it's very temporary, you know, and to remember that the devil is deceitful and he makes things look good on the outside, but once you get involved, you know, it's destruction. And that's not what God wants for us. He wants us to have everlasting life and happiness. And so we have to be very careful about the choices that we do make in life. And,
you know, for those who have made mistakes and have had to pay those consequences, you know, we're here for you, and there's a lot of people out here that are here to, you know, help you to, you know, come home from prison and to be able to get a job. And, you know, that's one of the things that we're working on in our movement, is to try to have a support system for ex-offenders. And, you know, I like to tell everybody that, you know, the ones in prison are just the ones that got caught, because there's so many people outside of prison that, you know, are using drugs, selling drugs, you know, doing a lot of illegal activity. They just haven't got caught. So, you know, we need to pray for all of our men and fathers that are in prison. And we know that, you know, 80% of the men in prison that are there for drug charges, it's their first offense, and it's for a nonviolent crime. And they don't really, you know, they shouldn't even be in prison. They should be home, you know, taking care of their children. And so we found some information that might be helpful to some of you out there. And it's an organization called Families Against Mandatory Minimums. And, you know, we need people to stand up and help get involved and help try to change some of these drug laws and reform them. And let me just give you the website for this organization. They're actually, you know, advocates for people in prison and for the drug laws. And the website is www.famm.org. And, you know, I'm going to get that information put up on our website as well, so you can look it up there. But the initials, if you look on Google, it's capital F as in family, A-M-M, Families Against Mandatory Minimums. So that would be, you know, a good connection for people to get involved with, especially to help change these drug laws and help get our fathers and brothers and sisters and mothers out of prison and back home where they belong. I'm going to give the mic back over to Rob for a minute. He's going to talk a little bit about our special anniversary show next week.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, and back on the mic. And I just want to thank my man Eric for being here and sharing his story. And before I get down, you're definitely welcome. Before I get down to our announcements, I would like for you to give your website out one more time, E, for your book.
It's www.heartofthehood.net. That's www.heartofthehood.net.
All right, all right.
You can purchase it safe and secure through PayPal.
My man. Now, we're going to get down to our anniversary. We have our 100th show coming up next Wednesday, the 29th. And the Streets Don't Love You Back radio show would be on the air 2 years. And we have an anniversary that's going to be out of this world next week. We have two mafia soldiers, which I would like to say is two friends of mine and my wife's. And we will be having Mr. Brian Gambino from the Gambino crime family, Carlos Gambino's grandson, will be here with us. We will also have Mr. Philip Anthony Hall, that works for the Five Families. He will be here, and we are going to have a dynamic show. They're still with the mafia, but they're inactive, and now they're on redemption of helping the kids. Brian is a minister, and he ministers all around the country. And Mr. Phil has a book that's coming out, and it's called From the Bullock to the Bible. And you will hear some dynamic testimony next week of some guys that's been living that. You know, it ain't nothing that you see on TV. This is the real deal Holyfield, you know. So we want to just thank them for being and coming on the show next week. So we would like everyone to tune in to our anniversary show. And we would like for you to tune in, E, to the anniversary show next week as well, and all our other viewers. And also we would like for people that has not joined the movement site to join the movement site, www.thestreetsdontloveyouback.com.
www.ninn.com. Also, pick up my book, The Streets Don't Love You Back. It's about my life story growing up in the city of Detroit. Also, my other book, Never Hit a Woman, Against Domestic Violence Towards Women and Kids. And we're just thanking God for what he's been doing in people's lives, like me, E, and other guys who's done been out there in the life. And now we're gangsters for God now, you know?
Yes,
so that's what's the greatest thing about it, you know?
Yes,
God
moves
in mysterious ways, you know?
Yes,
so, like I said, you know, all you preachers in the pulpit, we're asking you to come off your high horse and come down to the hood. We ask you to come down to the ghetto the same way God did. He walked among the prostitutes, the pimps, the hustlers, the motives, and the unlike and the unjust. So we ask you to come up out that church and stop wearing that suit and tie and them gaiters and parking the Benz and the Cadillac in the back and running out the door as soon as the service over with. Let's get real out here now. We ain't knocking you, but we asking you to let's come real with life, because at the end of the day, you're the one going to burn in hell because you're not doing God's work.
Yeah.
Amen?
Amen.
Amen. We having a little church for a minute, my people. Amen. we here at the Streets Don't Love You Back show, we have a great time with our fans. We have a great time with our guests. But at the end of the day, we just like to keep it 100 and not pull no punches, because everybody know what's going on in the communities now. You know, nobody is blind no more to what's happening, you know. Now it's just time for us to reach out and touch these young kids and grab them very early in life, you know, and start teaching them right from wrong and start teaching them about education instead of putting a pack and a gun in their hand saying, go ahead and do you. You know, let's cut that short and start putting knowledge and schooling in their mind, you know.
Yeah.
And on that note, we're going to go to two commercials, and we're going to be right back.
The money, the rise to power, violence, gangs, drugs, death, self-destruction, prison, the true life story of Detroit kingpin Rob Boyd, a must-read book. This book will be available online, worldwide, to order at thestreetsdontloveyouback.name.com, at amazon.com, barnesandnoble.com, indiebound.org, and borders.com. Also available in Detroit at Harlem World Books and Videos and at He-Man Bookstore on Frederick Douglass Boulevard. It's everywhere, so go ahead and order your autographed copy today. The Streets Don't Love You Back.
This guy that we knew, we gave him some meth and he went to shoot it up, and he died. We left his house, and a few weeks later we found out that killed him. Like, he was up in his room, and his dad went up there, and he was dead. My name is Bob. I'm 16 years old, and I started doing meth when I was 9. I regret when I was on meth, giving it to little kids, like 12-year-olds and stuff, selling it to them. I regret, like, helping cook it. My little brother sees it, like, when I'm doing it. He sees it sometimes, and I think he doesn't know what it is, but I think he thinks it's like a cool thing to do and gotta be grown up to do it. I tell him how bad it is and tell him that it really ain't that cool, and just try to explain to him that it's not fun, that it'll ruin his life.
Brought to you by the Arizona Meth Project.
Hey, and welcome right back to the Streets Don't Love You Back radio show. And I'm gonna turn the mic over to the missus. And I just want to thank everyone for tuning in tonight and definitely getting that knowledge and definitely learning. And each one teach one, reach one.
All right. Are you there, Eric?
Yes.
We're going to let you have the last couple of minutes here. And, you know, just reach out to the youth right here for a couple minutes and talk to them and give them some advice about, you know, how to stay out of the streets and you know, what could you tell them?
Okay, well, I just want you young men and young women to know that life is a choice. Life is made of choices. And you have the choice to do right, and you have the choice to do wrong. But you must know that there will be consequences for doing wrong. You have to sit down and take a deep breath and really ask yourself, is it worth it? Is it worth what's going to come behind what I'm doing? Young ladies, you don't have to be having sex with these boys. Keep your legs closed and the books open. Young men, keep your pants zipped up and the books open. Get your education. Get your education. Your education is the key to your entire destiny. Your education is your key to your entire destiny. You don't have to be going out here partying and messing around with people who are not trying to do anything. You need to get with some people who are trying to go to school, who are trying to learn. Try to do the right thing. It will feel much better than doing the wrong thing. You don't have to do the wrong thing. You really don't. Your life will turn out much better if you do the right thing. Search your heart, and forgive whoever hurt you so you can press in doing the right thing. Stay in school. Get your education. And just know that God loves you no matter what. So you just be safe and stay focused and know that God loves you.
Amen.
That's right. And to know that, you know, there's a lot of people here to support you for, you know, anything that you've gone through in your childhood, whether it's abandonment, abuse, neglect, you know, things like that a lot of us, you know, want to blame on what we're doing now. But we need to realize that we had no power and control over those things that happened, and that we were just victims in those situations, and that now we have to take responsibility for the choices that we make and make different choices and choose to be successful and choose to overcome all those obstacles and, you know, put God in the center of your life and everything will be possible.
Yes.
Well, we thank you so much for joining us, Eric, and, you know, we want to give our love to your wife and your children. You know, I saw them holding your book and they're little cuties.
Well, thank you for having me. Thank you. I am so blessed. This has been awesome, and I am so thankful. And you are doing a wonderful work. Boy,
thank you.
You and your wife are doing an awesome work.
We appreciate
awesome
it, man.
Work.
God is
and
good.
I just pray that plenty of doors be open for you. I just pray that plenty of doors be open for you. And I'm talking about even TV. I just pray that them doors open. Because
yes,
the work that you all are doing is awesome.
I appreciate it, you know. And our job is to do God's work, you know. And
yes, sir.
I thank God for my wife because, you know, I was chilling for a minute, and my wife, you know, got up under me, and, you know, things started moving after she revived my book, and, you know, things started taking off from there, and that's when I just got back to the grindstone at what God wanted and needed me to do, and that was to tell my story and get my message out there to help others learn at the end of the day. So, you know, there's a lot of titles in America. But when I woke up and God gave me that title, The Streets Don't Love You Back, you know, that became one of the most powerful, you know, lines in American history as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah.
Because no matter what no man do or no woman do, at the end of the day, I guarantee you they can say them words, The Streets Don't Love Me Back.
Yes.
So God gave me the most
powerful. Because I'm one of them that can say that. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Yeah. I thank you, man. And the missus, you know, she is the, you know, the goat behind the big red machine, as they call it. You know what
yeah.
I'm saying?
Yeah.
You know,
Praise God.
Yeah, she's a woman of character and a woman of integrity. You know what I'm saying? And I thank God for all of that because we work as a unit. We work as a team. And thank you. And everybody who done touched up on our life in any kind of way, you know, God opened up doors for us, and it's going to open up doors for authors and people who's been on our show. You know, it's not about us. It's, you know, me and my wife always say it's about the people, you know, our lives who we touch and people we can reach out to help one another. You know, if I help you, it's your job to reach and help someone else.
Yes,
so this is how my mentality and her mentality thing. Once doors open up for us, you know, it opens up for everybody that's done been on our show and everybody who we touch upon through our life, you know. So we pay close attention who comes on our show and who's offers and different things. So it's all good. And we ask everybody to become a member on the Streets Don't Love You Back again at www.thestreetsdontloveyoubackneem.com. And if you have not became a member yet, please join after we get off tonight and put your information.
Sure,
and we would like for you to send us a copy of the book, and we also will put you in our book club. You know, we have a Streets Don't Love You Back book club on the website as well, so you'll see all of that.
I'm gonna get a membership and everything. Yes, sir. yes, sir. Because you all are doing awesome work,
man. You know, God puts everybody where they need to be when they need to be. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that's what I love about him, man. His grace is so merciful. You can't help but wake up when you, even before you hit the floor, you can't help but to say thank you, Father. You know what I mean? For a gracious wake up.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I love it. So just be looking for me to sign, because I'm going to be a member, and I'm sending you the book and everything. So,
exactly.
That's
like
all in motion.
We definitely like to give a shout out to your city, to Chicago, and we definitely like to, you know, let them know, hey, if you ain't went out and got e-book, hey, jump on board and run on out and grab that book. Give them that site one more time, B.
www.heartofthehood.net. That's www.heartofthehood.net.
Dig that. And I just want to say to you, E, man, back in the 70s, man, when I was a young boy, we used to come up to Chicago, man. My cousins and them stayed right there in the Capitol Green Projects. We used to be over there all the time back in the day. I used to be all up in there, man. You know, we go up in there, man. Ain't no lights in the hallways, man.
You know the place.
I've been through Chicago all my life off and on from there, you know?
Yeah, that's the place.
Do you remember back in the day when y'all mayor had to come up in the Capitol Greens when my man got to go up there?
I was up there when that had happened, man.
I got family that stay right there in Maywood too, man.
Oh, man, it's a small world.
That's on my mother's side of the family, man. I used to be all up in Maywood, man, all up on Third, on South Side, everywhere, man, you know?
Man, it's a small world.
I know a lot of people, man. I just don't talk that much on certain pages, but,
I
see that family in Chicago, man, back all through
man,
the 70s.
A small world.
When money was plentiful.
Praise God. Yes, it was.
When money was plentiful, you did. You can walk on any corner in Chicago and get some money.
Yeah. Yeah. and a whole lot of
mystery. It wasn't no mystery, the boatload of it, if you got the right thing.
Yes, sir.
But we praise God that he done brought us through that mountain,
ooh,
you know?
Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank
yes,
you.
Yeah, man. So, yeah, we definitely appreciate that. And my wife will, she will email you our P.O. box and everything.
Okay,
down
good.
And
good.
And you shoot the book to us, and then we'll
good.
Put that in our book club. And
okay.
When we get off the line, like I say, make sure you go join on up and become a member. And let's go ahead and spread this message and promote your book
okay.
and promote God's work, you know?
Okay. Okay. And you all be blessed. And
yes.
I'm going to be sending you the book and everything, and you all be blessed, and I will be in touch.
That sounds good. And God bless. And you can stay on after we play the going out song, you know? Everybody,
okay.
like we always say, the streets don't love you back.
Have a great week.
Have a great week.
What's up, what's up? This RB checking in with the streets don't love you back. The movement is on, baby. Letting you know, me and LD talking about that thug / drug life. Let me tell you a little lesson, players. In these streets, baby, they'll never love you back. Trust that.
In these streets, no one above you. In these streets, no one can touch you. In these streets, love everyone to you. But know these streets, if they don't love you, they don't love you.
Everybody's out here talking about all that thug life, player. Talking about that drug dealing thing. Tell you, baby, it's about getting your life together, getting your head on tight, doing something with your life, and stop destroying your community and stop destroying yourself, baby. But when the people come at you, they come for real, player. Homeboys on my team done got 400 million before, baby. 100 million, baby. Now they sitting on death row, baby. That's where you want to be, player. Cause the drug game is washed up. The thug game is washed up, baby. They put it in our communities, baby, and they tell us off the top, yeah, you can make this, you can make that, but once they come for you, game over, lights out. Do what you feel, do what you want to do, baby, so join the movement. It's the streets, baby, they don't love you back. It's the streets, baby, they don't love you back. Come on, come on.
In these streets, no one's above you. In these streets, no one can touch you.
Yeah, this track here is a track of knowledge, you feel me? Want all young brothers and sisters across America to understand that the drug game, the thug life, that's all washed up right now. Take heed, learn from players that done live that life, you feel me? Much love to my man, the real freeway, Ricky Ross. Jeff stepped down May 4th. We sending you much love out there to Cali, you feel me? Much love to everybody across the state to state who roll with the movement. It's time to open your eyes up, people. It's time to rise up above all this street thing. You feel me? It's a better way. Let's do this.
It's moments like this when my back's against the fence that I say, fuck the fence. Life is test, I gotta go and get a get. Got he caught up the moon. Shit, I'm strong. It started from my home, so I'm at home with pressures on. We all alone when we born, we all alone when we die. We need to get our shit together. We can make it if we try, can probably make it if you cry. But I hate it when you whine. And if all is true with us, then you can take it when you die. I'm on my grind, cause all I got is time. But maybe it's enough, but if it's not, then let me know. Cause I feel like I'm on bus, I'm overstuffed with propaganda. This is slander. And lies, tried to slick the public and then wonder why there's crimes and murders on the rise, cause we ain't got a dime. Shit, I'ma hurt some fucking body, you see it in my eyes. I lie awake sometimes at night and ponder how to get ahead, jump out of bed paranoid, I'm going backwards instead. Feel like my feet is full of lead, cause I just can't move, freestyle life off the head, cause I don't know what to do. I need to make a couple moves. Ooh, I need to make a couple moves. I need to make a couple moves, but I gotta stay free, cause each and everything I do and say affects my seed. Decide what's the truth, separated from fallacy. Separate what I want from the things that I need, and try to make a way for everything to be okay. Stay focused on my goals, don't you never stray away. Let the past be the past, and your future's okay. Pay attention to the present, living in it every day. Come
on, it's all be checking back in with you, like I said. It's that traffic knowledge that you young brothers and sisters understand. But hey, the street life, that's a dead issue, that's a dead game. That's all washed up. Let's get our life together. Let's do what we need to do. Let's love more, hate none. RB, love, one. Much love to Lucinda, my manager, and my man LG. Let's do it. 100. Out.